Good morning to the PhD students and teachers of the program in Architectural and Urban Interior Design. With great pleasure, we welcome Antonino Saggio. Antonino Saggio is an architect, full professor of architectural design at Università La Sapienza in Rome, and for many years professor at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, PA, and also in ATH Zurich. Antonino Saggio published many important books. In 1984, dedicated to Giuseppe Pagano, the first book. In 1988, to Louis Sauer. In 1996, to Peter Eisenman. And in 1997, to Frank Gehry. In 2010, he published Architecture and Modernity, From the Bauhaus to the Information Revolution, because he is also interested in the aspect of information technology in architecture. In 1988, he founded the book series The IT Revolution in Architecture, 38 volumes in different languages, which contributes to outlining a new paradigm for the project. Another interest is about the issues of land vast and the role of ecological infrastructure in the built city. So, the activity of architectural composition have an impact on teaching, editorial, architectural design, intense activity. His last book, Giuseppe Terragni, A Critical Biography, is republished last year with Lettera 22, with an introduction by Peter Eisenman, and a new graphical image with the photos of an American photographer, Dennis Marsh. For my generation, Antonino Saggio is the one who renewed the famous book collection Universale di Architettura, founded by Bruno Zevi. Mainly, his activity of teaching architectural composition is linked to an investigation on theory and criticism of contemporary architecture that start from the today situation and with the tools and ideas of an architectural designer. It's just for this critical approach of today's lecture, entitled Giuseppe Terragni, New Typology, New Form, that we invited the discussants who are teachers of architectural design. Simona Pierini, who has been studying the architectures in Milan for several years throughout an analytical redesign. Camillo Magni and Nicola Russi, two architects active in the design scene. The first with international interests, and the second with the vision of the urban scale. I thank the discussant for their participation. I thank the director of PhD program, Alessandro Rocca, and all the teachers and PhD candidates. And I leave the floor to Antonino Saggio.
Grazie, thank you very much. Yes. So go ahead. So we warm up at the atmosphere. Thank you so much. Thank you, Professor Spinelli. We've been collaborating, as you see, for a long time. Coming in Milan, I decided, and being in a master PhD program, to deliver a lecture. Of course, completely new, because although I did several on Giuseppe Terragni, my interest is every time to do a different lecture, because it is more interesting for me, and I don't repeat anything. So I was thinking to a very specific lecture, because being not in a generic outside cultural situation, but in a specialized group of students, I think it is more, more academically structured, let's put it like that. And so I also decided that I never really thought about the word typology referring to Giuseppe Terragni. And so this is the first time that I'm talking at the World Typology, dealing with Giuseppe Terragni. And so we will develop the structure. I think we have scheduled 2 hours, no? Or 2 hours and a half. Since the lecture will be a little bit hard, I suggest that we can split in two parts. So just 5 minutes break, I know for experience, is better than keep up the interest later. Otherwise, I think it is too difficult. So we have 2 hours. I suppose that around 11:15, I can stop for a short break. Okay, and then we can have the last half an hour or so for discussion among us. So this is the program. As Professor Spinelli said, I have also an interest in information technology. That's why I deliver my lectures since many years directly in the website. So it's enough that you Google my name. It's basically the only thing that you need to know. And when you Google my name, appears the first link, which is this one. When you click this link, you are in my home page, and here is the invitation, and if you just click on this one, you are in the actual material of the lecture today. This is very important because for people that study, my idea is that they are not just looking the images, but they take notes clearly, and particularly they follow the links that I provide to everybody to go after. Already century with 2 books that Professor Spinelli wrote. One is based on Koderc, and a very interesting architect already working during the Franquism, but then in Spain, but with a very strong modernist approach, and an architect like many others of their generation that look at Italy and Milan with a certain degree of interest. And the other one dedicated to Soleri, actually this is in this century, and we still remember when Paolo Soleri came to Rome for his wonderful exhibition in Palazzo, in Fontana de Trevi Palace, with his 20 meters long drawings. And Spinelli, myself, and Soleri went around with a car in Rome. And we are engaged in a new, very, very important book, but we don't speak on new books, but our collaboration is continuing. The book that we are talking about has been considered a classic in the Italian architectural literature, and many defined as the best book in Italian architecture between the two world wars, not only on Terragni, because there is a methodological approach that is very strong in the book, that is combining a high level of precision in the all philological aspects, but also an understanding of the figure of Terragni within the cultural debate between the two world wars, and also a very deep, understanding of the processes of his architecture. how and how. And also, although not revealed explicitly, there is a lot of works of reconstruction of buildings. In the first edition, they were all done by me and my student at Polytechnic of Zurich. In the last one, instead, there are work of colleagues, some of Milano too, and four colleagues around the world that created important reconstruction. This work goes on, and we just presented this book that is done by 9 of my PhD students in Rome that are dealing with reconstruction and critical essays of the writing book, and the reconstruction are a very, very unknown building. We are bringing this material to a little exhibition in Como that will be in the Novo Comune next Monday, tomorrow afternoon we'll be there. Probably there is a copy of this book or not, Petal, shall I do?
Maybe.
So, because there are PhD students, they can be interested on that. Few words about the figure of Pagano, of Ferragni, and grazie. And a few words on the figure of Ferragni, just because it's not said that everybody of you knows, actually I suppose, that you don't know too well, many of you at least, who Ferragni was. Ferragni has been considered throughout the world as the best and most talented Italian architects of the first part of the 20,000th century. This judgment is very solid and very objective, because he has the great number of citations, the largest numbers of books and articles all around the world, from Japan to the United States, etc. So it's very objective. At the same time, his destiny in some way was a tough one, because he died very young, at the age of 39, and he stopped operating full time as an architect at the age of 35. So this means that his activities were only around 14 years. And in these 14 years, he was able to create several masterpieces. All of them are between Como, that is a beautiful town around half an hour from Milan by train, and Milano itself. It's important to know that Ferragni was part of the CIAM group. The CIAM is the Congress International of Architecture Moderna. Was a group created in 1928 around the figure of Le Corbusier. Later on, they created another Congress in Frankfurt that was created an alliance between, let's say, the Le Corbusier French side and the German side. So that Congress saw a figure like Grove Smith and so on and so forth. And then this third Congress, Ferragni participated with only other two Italian architects. So it was a very important, very, very important to be part of that group. So this is Ferragni, this is Bottoni, this is the wife of Pollini, And this is, of course, the young Le Corbusier. Just to tell you how it's important, very important, to understand that Ranni was part of an international elite of architects of modern architecture. And the shared principle, the shared ideas, the shared credo. Of course, Terragni was also an Italian. And we will see how we develop the lecture, this of the combination. Possiamo spegnere le luci, per favore. Poi, certo, se ci fosse un bicchiere d'acqua, perché già so praticamente secco. Non so se, scusami Luigi, ma quello è l'unica cosa mi è proprio indispensabile. And so it was really part of that avant-garde circle, the shared principles, etc. Particularly in this congress that was carried out in a trip between Marseille and Athens in 1932-3, were laid out the urbanistic principle of the Carta, that what was later called the Carta d'Atene, that had all the principle of functional architecture at the urban scale and city planning scale, such as zoning, such as differentiation of different type of traffic, such as exposure to the sun, and so on and so forth. So Terragni was part of that, and also at the same time created the first modern plan in Italy for the city of Como, because it was an urbanistic plan exactly founded as out based basically on those principles that I just described. In 1939, the war exploded. Terragni was immediately called to be part of the war, and he had several missions in the war. The last one was in Russia, and he came back from Russia in a very, very weak state, both from a health point of view and from a mental point of view. He was cured with the electroshock. And this picture was found only recently, and in this picture we see what many, grazie carissimo, grazie, grazie mille, we saw something that many person told, that are the kind of sight, you know, how he was looking. That almost lost sight, you know. Really, the sight of a man that came back devastated by that experience. He died just a few months after this section of electroshock. His last project, it is for a cathedral. His last project was for a cathedral, and this work was known only through sketches, but Gaetano De Francesco, that is with me today, and myself, we reconstructed 3D this project that was presented Saturday at the Spazio Milesi, and we will present also in Novo Comun with other surprises. I think that for the sake of view will be good. Okay, we'll do a very fast show of pictures just for the sake of those that are not familiar with Terragni, because my point is we start to make a very technical reading, but probably some of them, they have no idea of the artist that we're talking about, I think.
Could be.
Could be. There is a high chance. Although at PhD level, although at PhD level.
Yeah, but our international students, so that means arrive from everywhere.
Yes, so I think it is necessary.
Yeah,
I think it is necessary. So, Como is the city where everything, basically almost everything happens. Como is a city of the lake, close by, a border city, based on a Roman plan. This is the house of Terragni, where everything developed, because soon the family remained without the mother, so there were four men basically living in this house, with the studio downstairs and the other areas, the living areas on the other floor. And this was a palazzetto built by the father that made a rapid career, starting as a mason man and becoming a little developer, basically. These are one drawing in school by Terragni that was inspired by Michelangelo, of course, and an assistant of him that the other day we had the son, which is, you know, the Pernetti. Because this person of Pizzigoni was completely lost, basically. Reading, and then I mentioned Pizzigoni there, and then step after step I found the sun, and so nothing is special, but it's a little thing. And first projects, actually we can see them as very traditional, but in reality Terragni was breaking a lot of rules, and in fact he has problems for this project. This is a monument of the dead on the First World War. Basically in each city in Italy there is a monument dedicated to the death of the person died in the war, but as you can see, this is a very untraditional monument, because basically it's a kind, almost an urban or a landscape action. The actual monument, which is the least rhetoric that is possible, is over here. Then it arrives in the Italian scene, the Bible, that is this book by this young Swiss architect called Vers in Architecture. The name was Le Corbusier, and the Italian young student in Milano, they get very excited by this book, so they created a group, is the so-called Gruppo Sette. And they started to make articles to translate this new message of modernity, but the Italians were, yes, very strong on that, but also with some nuances that showed something that will happen later on, you know. It was clearly a credo towards the modernity, towards industrialism, towards functionalism, but at the same time, there were some layers that were telling, yes, but we are different, yes, but we have the history, yes, we cannot be considered like you Dutch or German, we have a different depth in a way. So that was written since the very first one. So there was this belonging to this new revolution, but at the same time, specificity was put it up front from the very beginning. Anyway, they started to do exhibition. This is just a wonderful project by Terragni that is called L'Officina del Gas. Then Terragni built the Novo Comune, that is considered the first apartment building in Italy, that created a big scandal and wanted to be demolished, and luckily was not. The Vitrum, that is this shop in downtown Como, they create a great interest by the painters in the city, and the painters start to move towards abstraction and pure geometry, so on and so forth, and going away from the figurativism painting, also because the presence of Terragni and of this building, although Terragni actually was as a painter, was a novecentist, so a figurative painter. This is the Casa del Fascio. It was designed in the during the Christmas vacation of 1932, and is considered masterpiece. Peter Eisman, when he writes about the first time that he saw this house, actually the first time that Colin Rowe brought him to see the house, he says things very deep, like, my life as an architect will never be the same afterwards, and that was a real epiphany, and so on and so forth. Okay, then, okay, Casa del Fascio, and then this is the first building of Milano that we are telling. This is my memory, questo è Ghiringhelli, in questa grande piazza da cui lei fa da sfondo, e io ho preferito fotografarla così. And these houses in Milano, they always have the name of the owner, that generally takes the last. Questa è la Toninello, is a small house. This is the last house that they have done with all these houses are done with Lingeri. Pietro Lingeri, his colleague, although a little bit older. This is the Ghiringhelli atrium, and this is the very, very important one in Milano, the Casa Rustici. We are going to speak deeply of the Casa del Fascio, of this one, and then I will show you the other things. He made many projects for Rome, around 10, even more, but none has been built. He participated with a level of emotional an emotional presence to this story of Roberto Sarfatti. The story of Roberto Sarfatti, I don't know, Lorenzo, tu la sai? Because Lorenzo, quello è Lorenzo, invece questo è Roberto, is a really incredible story. Okay, Roberto was the son of one of the most important women in Italy, that is Margherita Sarfatti. Margherita Sarfatti was the queen of art in Italy, has been the biographer of Mussolini, She was a close friend of Mussolini for many years. Two authors, two English authors or American authors, Canistraro and another one that I don't remember now, they wrote a wonderful, wonderful biography on Margherita. And this woman was living at a villa very close to Como, and he put the young architect Terragni under her wing, so he was protecting, etc. But Margherita had an incredible sorrow in his life, because the son Roberto died during the First World War, which to this point many one died. But the problem of Roberto, he was that he was 16, so he could not go to the war. So he engaged in the war, making false paper. Was there, and he was killed in one of the most symbolical battle that had been in the First World War. The body of Roberto has been lost for 15 years or so. In the 31 or 32, it was found the body after 15 years of the death. And the mother gave the commission to Terragni to the monument, since the body was finally found. And Terragni started to do neoclassical composition, slowly they move towards something more solid and so. I understood much more of this building with this seminar that I have with my PhD student. And I don't go into too much details, but anyway, the building, the little monument has been thought that it was lost. It was not lost, and I was able to find it back in 2000, and I don't know what, no, back in 1994, with other students of ETH Zurich. Yeah, I will tell you later. I will later we'll find in the Google map. Okay, because it's worthwhile. And then there is this masterpiece in the Asilo Santeria, the daycare, and we will talk about that also, because it is important from the point of view of our class. Okay. Fine. The very famous Danteum, we are approaching the war, another Casa del Fascio, Giuliani Frigerio, and the place in which Terragni was working. Now we go in the actual lecture. So this is just an introduction, just to let you know what we are talking about, ok? Abbiamo detto alle 11:15, giusto?
Una certa possibilità.
Ok, so I state the issue only, just five or six minutes, because otherwise we break into... We break... ok, we are here. What I want to talk. I want to talk of the idea that Terragni as a very good architect creates a new typology. It's not implied a new typology. What is the typology? Typology is a word that has been interpreted in so many ways, in so many different contexts. actually the right word will be type, will be building type. In some cases, building types means program, like banks or station, etc. In our culture, type, if we have to make a very simple definition, will be a primary form that is not actually architecture, but it kind of prefigurates a possible development of architecture. This is the Argan definition that is more or less, to me, is that it makes more sense. So it's a primary geometrical form. Naturally, this primary geometrical forms in architecture tend to stay for a long time. But there are reasons that are historical or other that allow the creation of other types that in some way overlap to the previous one and allow a larger spectrum of hypotheses. Typical to understand these processes is what happened with the Basilica. The Renaissance started with a scheme of basilica that was based on the nave, on the lateral corridor, and with the transept, etc. This scheme actually geometrically was coming back from the Basilica of the Roman, although the Basilica of the Roman were not at all religious, but in the Gothic and in Renaissance, this scheme was kind of very important. So many churches, completely different one from the other, were based on this scheme. Later on, around the mid second part of the 16th century, another scheme arrived that eliminated the corridor, eliminated in many cases the abside, and was based on only one circular space. Again, many churches were done with that scheme during the centuries, and so the two became two possibilities, so on and so forth. So, my point is that Terragni invented some new typology. And it's the first time that I use the word type and the word typology dealing with Terragni, okay? I will try to show this with examples, few moments, and then we take a short break. First thing you have to understand a bit Como. Como, as you immediately see, is a Roman city that, of course, developed and changed its building types, actually, from the old domus to the medieval typology, and then to the Renaissance typology. One of my masters, that is Gianfranco Canigia, did a wonderful work on this, and I think it is one of the basis of to understand certain processes. So here you see the military camp that was at the base of Como. This picture is the Epiphany. It's exactly how normally the Casa del Fascio arrives to you. So was the Epiphany of Peter Eisman, it was the Epiphany of many people. They go there to see. C'è un po' di musica, ma non importa. Fa niente, non è una cosa così importante. C'è un pochettino da qualche parte, però perché io non vedo dov'è, capito? Non vedo dov'è la cosa, ma non è che sia una gran musica. Non va, non fa niente, di quello, non fa niente, non sono importanti le immagini, la musica.
Prova a vedere se l'icona lì.
No, vabbè, fa niente, non è una cosa grave, e anzi preferisco quasi parlarne io. This short movie with some beautiful picture of Dennis Marsico and some more beautiful pictures by Paolo Rosselli, which is a photographer of Milano, I think put you in the atmosphere of this masterpiece of architecture. We are not going to discuss it in depth. The only point that I really stress very much is that this idea of the type, okay? This is very important for me. And then I will try to tell why there is such a strong relationship between the invention of the new type and also the invention of a new form. Che dice? Andiamo avanti 5 minuti? Andiamo avanti 5 minuti, almeno se andiamo a un punto. Now, let's see these plans, and let's try to understand the plans. The key of this plan is, and is a very important key from a typological point of view, what is the invention? The invention is that the plan, let's start to describe it, and then later I will tell you what is the invention. Okay. This is the Piazza dell'Impero. It's a large piazza in front. The house of Fascio is to celebrate the new party with offices of the different things. You either enter from here to a kind of control room, main stair that goes and brings you up, and services. Already on the ground floor, you have offices for organization of the party, like those of the young people, that kind of thing. And then there is this detail that we are going to discuss later. And then there is another stair over there. Second floor, you arrive either from here, offices, larger room of meetings, that is the room of the Federale, of the larger meeting, of course, and other offices, all organized around this ballatoio or corridor, except this one that looks directly in the inside space. The other floor has no connection with the floor before. This is glass blocks that covers the other level. Again, a corridor that goes all around and serve things. Here we start to see something interesting that we will understand later on in plan. And this is the last floor with it is served only by this stair, and then there is this corridor in some way that runs across this beautiful terrace, and which are devoted different things. This AC, I don't remember what it is, but this is one thing, another one is another thing. So, why that organization? This is the answer. The building has, of course, to act as a backdrop for political manifestation. But the idea of Terragni was that that was not enough. The genial idea was that the whole floor, ground floor, had to participate to that. It's like the flow of the people from the outside in the piazza will flow in the inside in a continuity. So this detail is fundamental. It is absolutely fundamental. What these things are is all automatic doors that will open all perpendicularly, allowing that continuity. So the inside space is, in reality, it is an inside piazza that mediates with that. So that was the real idea. And then we can understand some picture of the building and understanding that strong idea. Terragni was, as almost everybody in his generation, a fascist. He was considered a very naive fascist, was not that active or not that belonging to anything of the violent or the squadristic, aggressive side, but as many of the time was fascist, and so was convinced that the fascism was a revolution, that the fascism was transparent, which is the most ridiculous thing that you may think, but use pages and pages in saying that this architecture is transparent because it has to be the fascism is transparent, that with is really the most naive thing that you may say in a way. But he was feeling sincerely about that. He was thinking that the fascist was a progressive and to a certain extent the first generation of young modern architects in Italy, for several years they had the hope that the fascism would have been really supportive of them and not of any, let's say, rhetorical, neoclassical thing. So for several years, they had some proof that that would have been possible. So that was a decision, very important, and allowed a creation of, I will describe step by step, because this is a new typology, it's a really a new scheme. And so it's a new primary form, as is the definition of type, that may go on and may bring ideas, new ideas to architectural form. So I will stop here and facciamo un piccolo break, perché sennò diventa troppo, e poi ci rivediamo, decidi tu quando, per 5-10 minuti. No, figurati. Andiamo a fare due chiacchiere con i miei ragazzi, così io come la diretta. In realtà è tutto molto strumentale, non è così. Però il break è una buona idea.
È sempre una buona idea.
È sempre che c'è materiale. Mi ricordate la sigaretta, mi raccontate che avete tirato tanto?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Quando ci sono i ragazzi andiamo, io
è necessaria questa informazione generale,
sì, cioè se magari proviamo con la discussione, magari io non, io sono qui per voi, non ho problemi proprio. Allora, continuiamo. So, okay, so we will continue. So we stop to this point that the building presents this central space, this longitudinal central space with these two wings on both sides, and the central space it is done in this case for a very important reason, is that one shown in the picture. Many people that study that they like to find precedents for everything, and in my opinion don't feel really architecture, tend to say, or has said, that the Casa del Fascio looks back at the typical typology of the Renaissance palace. This is the most famous example of this type. This type, of course, it is a stereometric building, it's a compact cube like it is the Casa del Fascio, but in terms of typology, this is a courtyard, while, as we just said, this is not a courtyard. The courtyard building works as a series of, is a block, is something that is called an androne, that is a space of mediation between the piazza, in this particular case, and the courtyard. So the androne is almost, this is a very closed door that is also done for protection. So there is one single door here, then you go to the androne, and then you go to the to the courtyard. So comparing just for the sake that you have to find precedents, the Casa del Fascio to this means to create a misleading thing. You don't understand what Hermanni was really doing if you work in that in that way. You have to really understand instead that Hermanni is creating a new typology. Some that are a little bit better than those that look at that found another typology, which is the typology of the Venetian palace. The Venetian palace has something similar that has these two wings thing, for the simple reason that the boats have to arrive inside this kind of, inside Darsena. So the boats arrive inside, and then the people get out from that inside it. But Hermanni had no clue, believe me, of the existence of this building, and for sure had absolutely no idea of that. It was never in Venice, and so the idea to have to find precedents every time is something that I tend to don't have as an approach, neither in painting or something. It's always a kind of, there is some kind of reactionary aspect in that, that I know very well in art. For example, when arrived these most revolutionary paintings in Rome, that are the first public painting by Caravaggio, of course all the city arrive to see that, and are among the most revolutionary painting ever happened. He arrived the president of the Accademia of San Luca, and he said, "What is new? He just looks like Giorgione." Okay, so this is typical as a way to put it down. What is new? Finding some type of precedence. So I strongly put the fact that really this is a new typology, and this new typology brought to many new ideas in form. That I want to speak, I think, later. I think it's better first that just we talk of the new typology system, and then we go understanding in the second part why these things brought also to the new form. So let's see another building. And the house is Villa Russici, and I just thought about this very shortly, Saturday. So I will repeat, sorry for Luigi and the other friends that were there, some key concept, but towards this idea of the new typology. So here again is the really the invention of a new type, because this detail is key. If you look over here, Hermanni made this little drawing, and the little drawing shows this is the typical type of the that was the block, and the plan of the city that was just the new plan, urban plan of the city, was just thought for that idea. But Hermanni did not want that. In fact, he put a cross. You can see that is crossed to say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to create a new type. And in fact, he created a new type that it is, you see here, it is opposite than that. He creates two volumes that are perpendicular to the street. Why he did that? Because for one side he did not want to have the block that was going around the street, how was traditional, but the real reason he was that he wanted to create a kind of perfect functional building that was following the rule of the new modern architecture. That means minimization of circulation, division of night and day zone, and best possible illumination to all parts of the building, and so on and so forth. So basically, while creating this plan, is a plan that could be, with no problem, at either the Weissenhof or in any magazine of modern architecture, because the typology, that means the type, is kind of canonic of the new principles. Okay, so in this case, you see the central block that distribute, that is put it of course at the center, that distribute apartments on both sides, minimizing any waste of space, etc. And the rooms can have lights on both sides, and there is no differentiation of a courtyard inside with kind of only service space, etc. And he had, had to do a great battle with the city, because the city interpret this space as a service space. That was the idea of the block. If you have a block, then everything that looks inside must be service. Let me mean maid room, bathroom, and so forth. And the real service space must be on the outside. That is for the idea of the block, of course. But in this case, the idea is completely opposite. You have this perpendicular, let's say, perfect rationalistic distribution and organization. And for him was essential to do that, because it was also an ideological thing. It was not only, it was, he could speak with the people of the Frankfurt School or with Le Gropius and Le Corbusier and all these other friends, that he was doing something as functionalistic as possible. And again, the Casa Russici, follows that principle. Then you may ask, what's happening here? And if you are an architect, you know that you don't have to be trapped by your own rule. Because if you are trapped by your own rule, you cannot end the project. So what is this? It's very simple what it is. Although the scheme is this one, and that you see here, what is that part is the simple thing that you have extra possible area that is buildable. So at that point, okay, fine, we do it as an addition. So we, so this apartment is a little bit larger, that part over there is kind of an exception within the general rule, but otherwise you cannot do it, you destroy everything. So to have that kind of flexibility, it is very important, you know. You have a scheme, but you have also the flexibility, otherwise it would be a disaster. Of course, anything like that can be done in the Casa del Fascio, that to be a pure cube was essential for many other reasons. So this is the Casa Russici, and we'll talk later again about the form. You can go and see it in Milano. It's a beautiful building. The address is Corso Sempione 36. So you can see it, just to have a feeling. I hope this movie works. Okay, just to have a feeling what it is, we can see the a movie. A short movie, 1 minute. Just to understand, several of these pictures are of my friend Dennis Marsico, that is the photographer of my ceramic book, while these are clearly mine. This is a pictures of the villa that on top connects the two perpendicular buildings. So on the top there is a villa, here it is, that connects the two buildings, and is where originally il signor Rustici lived. Okay, credo che sia finito. Okay, now let's go to a third building. So here also you see this scheme of the three bands, with two that are built and one that is empty. Because the key idea of the type is that the type is not type to function. Type is a primary form that has not to do necessarily with the program of the building. So we saw basically the same geometrical scheme that now we talk about with the word type in two completely different buildings, because one is a residential building, the other one is a public building, okay? And now we see this third building, that is the Asilo Sant'Elia. This is Terragni with the two nephews, I think you call, are the children of the brother, and I know both of them, Attilio and Emilio. Again, Como, and here is where this building, that is a masterpiece of Italian architecture, it is located, and it is in the outskirts of Como, in the working area class neighborhood. We see some picture of it, just to have a sense of the. Of the building in it in itself, and later on I will explain what's going on. This is an old movie. It's a movie of 1994 that was being transferred from Super 8 here and there, and now it's the internet. But anyway, it gives you an idea, because also today, for very sad contradictions that I will not go about, the asilo is closed since 4 or 5 years, which is something that I just can't believe. And for this reason, we made this petition of the to raise up the attention on Ferrari architecture, and also to celebrate his 120 years of the birth. We create a petition, we made a fake stamp, etc. Okay, so this is just that you have a feeling of the of the building, or these are the corridor. On the left we have the different rooms for the children to stay together, and this is the central space. Because, as you probably understood, where I want to go is that also the Asilo Santeria is based on the same scheme. Again, a central space with two wings at both sides. And here I think we go shortly on the ramp, I believe. Let's see. These are interesting. Oh, the film is too long, we cannot see it all. But as I said, it's very important to have the link from my point of view, because for the people that really want to study or want to feel, they have this experience. Here there is a photographic sequence of the building. The previous one was a movie, and this instead are selected pictures by Paolo Rosselli and Dennis Marsico. I think they are very, very beautiful pictures that you can feel the building even more than a film, if the quality is not.
When did you shot the picture?
Come?
Quando avete scattato?
Dunque, questa foto è del 1987. Questo è Emilio Terragni, quello che avevamo visto piccolo, che aveva restaurato l'asilo, e invece quelle di Paolo Rosselli, che adesso vedremo, sono fotografie più recenti. Questa serie è quasi tutta 1987, qualcuna è una campagna successiva. Queste sono foto di Paolo Rosselli più recenti. Parliamo del dunque l'anniversario del 2004, forse il 2005, più o meno. Questa è tutta una sequenza di Paolo Rosselli. And it's very interesting because the style of the two photographers are really different. And since I know both well, I can recognize immediately one picture of Dennis from one picture of Paolo. Paolo works very much towards that, the abstraction you see, kind of abstract composition of plane and space. You see how the pictures are composed. And Dennis is instead organizing what we call the presence of the human in the thing. Okay. Now, let's understand here also the working of the thing. Again, one, two, and a central space, and an exception, like in the case of Casa del Fascio, but the scheme is the same. So, this is a simple building because it's only one floor. You enter from here, then there is kind of a checkpoint, then you penetrate one, two, three, four classroom, then can be open or not, one to the other. An area that is where a closed room, basically, where the little children have their little armchair to put their stuff, and then on this other side is the mensa with the kitchen, downstairs, bathroom, and then there is the ramp, very important, that goes up to the roof that we saw in the film and in the pictures. So is this is a typical Dennis picture. I remember when he was taking this speech, said, Nino, look at that guy. He seems Le Corbusier, no? This guy with the red thing. Because the photographer looked different, and I think this is a wonderful picture. And
also the furniture are the original ones.
Yes, absolutely. Is we saw that in the movie, and we saw it in the movie, and also the furniture of the doctor office and the direction office. And there is some firm in Lombardia that put them in production again. Gaetano lo sa perché mi ha portato pure un regalo. Non mi ricordo, lui lo sa. Ti ricordi che mi ha portato il regalo, Gaetano? Della matita? So there is. Okay, now let's look at this drawing. This drawing, it is that one that wanted to share this idea. So Terragni works with this archetype, basically. If he can, he starts with a tripartito system, right? So it does not start with a central space, it does not start with a basilica organization, so on and so forth. But in many cases, in several cases, if he can, he starts with a tripartite type or form, or primarily form, let's call it as we want. And we saw it in the Casa del Fascio, we saw it in Casa Russici, and we saw it in the Asilo. But since Terragni is a genius, he is not being trapped by the geometrical scheme. So the geometrical scheme is important, is also necessary, but architectural form, it plays in different ways with the presence of that scheme. You know, so it changed the architectural form depending on many other reasons that are urban, are the characteristic of the building, are functional, but also the formal thinking of Terragni follows some type of architect. So also the architectural thinking of Terragni follows one strong idea. And the strong idea, I call it the frame, or in Italia, il telaio. Why Terragni is attracted so much by this presence of the frame or il telaio? Because Terragni had to play a complex game. And the complex game is to have a kind of stereometric, volumetric idea that comes from all Italian tradition, for the fact that in Italy we are not neoclassical, jumping in the space, but tend to be more compact, and there is this presence of these volumes that in Italy are something so important in a way. Have you noticed that I never use the word classical, and I don't want to use the word classical, because to use the word classical means nothing, just nothing. If I say that in Italy there is a presence of a compact volume, I'm saying something. If I'm saying it's classical, I'm not saying anything. So in Italy there is the presence of the volume, of the compact volume, in a way that has not experienced so intensively as in other places. So it's really the presence of the pure volume that is an idea that goes across even this modern architect of the 30s. Because if you look at Gardella, basically the same. If you look at Libera, basically the same. So there is that tendency of not eliminate the presence of the volume. On the other side, he needs to participate to a dynamic, asymmetric, atmospheric idea that belongs to the modernity. And to solve this intimate contradiction, he needs a key weapon. And the key weapon is the frame, because the frame can participate to both worlds and be played in different situations, in different cases, allowing him incredibly to participate to the volume side and to the asymmetrical dynamical thing. That's why the frame is the key to understand the formal thinking of the running. And I will tell you why this frame is so interesting as a word. Because the frame can play at least five different roles or systems. One, of course, is that frame, or il calcolo a telaio in Italian, is a way that is related to structural thinking. Particularly, we have a system of making calculation that is based on the continuity of the frame instead than of the trilytic system of pillar, and beam. So it's a way of calculation, and it's also a way to perceive structural form. The most famous is clearly the Willenden. Then Terrani used that system several times in this way, you know. Then second, the frame is a functional container of balconies, porch, elements of transition between the inside and the outside. So you may consider also as an element through which you can play a graduation from the outside and the inside. Third, the frame is also a climatic device that plays quite an importance in Mediterranean climate, because of course having a distance from the actual window of a building, and that distance is done exactly with putting a frame in front. When the sun is very perpendicular, it is carried, so it will not arrive inside the room. So it is a climatic device. And number four. And then, of course, wow, the frame is a formal device. It is a formal device in architecture that, to make life simple, was invented, or let's say reinvented, by Michelangelo. And in Michelangelo was called ordine gigante. That means that you basically put a system of frames to unify the building independently for the different floors. So Michelangelo started to have this system. So the columns are not related to the floor, but are created a giant order, okay? And then he kind of telescopically, like it is a telescope, put a frame within a frame within a frame. So there is a larger frame, then there are smaller frame, then there are smaller frame, etc. Like it is. So it's a formal device. So at least five, I don't remember, then there is six. The frame is clearly the precondition of a perspective view. You don't have a perspective view if you don't create the rules that are based on the frame. You can do a perspective if you take a portion of the world that follows a certain rules, okay? If you are there, you cannot do a perspective, okay? So everything that deals with perspective deals with the frame. And this word, the frame, is so important that is a key to understanding a lot of things in art and even in modern art, because the modern art was all, you can see, that largely is all against the frame. Breaking the frame. And then number seven, this works only in English, in Italy it doesn't. Frame in English is also a sequence of a film, of a movie, right? There are frames. And this works wonderfully because exactly modern architecture wanted exactly to create those long horizontal streets in order to create that dynamic anti-perspective view. So there was an idea that the views are based on movement and they are in tendency anti-perspective. Why? Do one single frame, particularly if it is vertical in a building, is a perspective understanding of the world, like the horizontal frame, and those with that idea of the movie and that idea of the anti-perspective and the dynamic understanding of architecture. So it's a pretty important thing. And if we want,
non so. Scusa, numero 4.
Qui?
No, su, la
quarta. Ah, ok, il quarto. Ecco, me l'ero dimenticato. Very important, thank you very much. I completely forgot that. Naturally, the frame is also a modular system within a building. So it's not only giant order, but it's also a way to modulate building, to create modules within the building. I pick up a Piacentini, I don't know exactly why, but that is so recurrent, you know, it's really the frame, and it's the way that Terragna often does. Okay, so if you are not overkilled, I wanted to show you some about this frame thing. Once I will speak about Caravaggio, because you have Caravaggio here too. And okay, Caravaggio always closed the windows. Why Caravaggio always closed the windows? There are very rarely windows in Caravaggio, and when there are, they are always closed. Why? Because Caravaggio is anti-perspective. Caravaggio puts everything in against the public. It cuts that idea of the frame. So when there is exactly the opposite of the idea of a typical Renaissance. Here you see not only everything it is framed, but it's framed within frame, and then even the landscape is another world. It's a completely another world. And then here it's a boom. Everything is there. Boom. It's like in a theater, you know, that every aspect of the scene has to be attached to the public with no depth, no perspective depth. And that's why symbolically another painter would have opened that window to show, no, Caravaggio, no, it's the last thing that he wants. Okay, and okay, I cannot talk too much on Caravaggio. And then it happens these interesting things that in the 30s, 1936, Terwani was accused by anonymous to plagiarism, and they put as a proof two buildings somewhere in Europe that had some similarities. Caravaggio. For me, everything is connected. Sorry. Terwani wrote to this architect, and the architect said, "Of course, you know, you have copied nothing. It's clear that in architecture there is something similar." Then he asked to his friend Sartoris to write an article to tell how recurrent was this use of the frame in his architecture. So this is the article of Sartoris, and then they started to show that even the first building, that is the Officina del Gas, he used, you know, just to prove that it was an absurd here, okay? So the use of the frame in Terwani was fundamental. And here, what happened here, now we are moving in form, it is incredible. And is exactly based on the frame. Okay, I'm looking for pictures to explain what's going on. Okay, I want to go back, otherwise I'm lost. Just 1 second, because I have better picture to say that. Vi sto uccidendo?
No.
Siamo sicuri?
Yes.
Perché io vestendo, eh? Ditemi quando non ce la fate più, eh? Vi aiuto! Allora, mo vi spiego sta cosa bellissima. Allora, che si inventa Somo? What he invents? We saw the typology, but he is still part of the modern movement. And although this building denies all the principle of Le Corbusier, Piloti, nothing, still has to belong to that field, has to belong, must be not a rhetorical whatever, but must be in the taste, how they were telling at the time, of modernity. So has to be abstract, has to be dynamic. And what he invents is incredible, what he invents. He invents a system that uses, okay, insist, dove ho i prospetti, perché dei prospetti. Okay, look at this. He said, all right, I have a semi-cube, because you know this is exactly a semi-cube. Okay, this is exactly a semi-cube, 32 meters by 16, more or less. He invents this idea. How can I create this building as an abstract dynamic object? Because that's the point. Because a semi-cube is a dead guy, right? Instead, I want to create dynamic. So he invents this. I run fenestration, let's say, or facade system, always, always compact from top to bottom. There is no sign whatsoever that this is top and this is bottom. It goes boom, boom. So you see here, boom, boom, boom. You see the main facade? The main facade is this one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there is this continuous system, and these are 5, and then this is solid. Then we turn, and then here we say, we see 3, 4, 5, six, seven, eight, but they are always done in this way. This is fundamental. From top to bottom with no inside differentiation. Here, the same. Look here. There is one system, another system, another system, another system. Here again, one system, another system. Now, this is what I call the parallel bands. Why these parallel bands are very important? Because the building, it is asymmetrical. It is always asymmetrical. So you see here, every other architect in the world, all architects in the world would have done a symmetrical facade here, because this is actually a symmetrical plan, basically. There is no functional reason whatsoever to do that. So, it's a formal reason, and the formal reason is exactly that one that I explained at the beginning, that was to be able to play at the same time the game of the volume and the game of the abstraction.
Non so rispondere a questa domanda. Posso fare?
Siri è completamente. So, no, you have to play both games. And you do with that system. So, unfortunately, I don't have the model now, but in some cases I bring the model and I turn all the way, just to show that you can see the building as an abstract object. Because even the roof as the same system. The roof, of course, is not there, clearly. It is another plane that is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is the fifth, right? That is the roof. So, what this does is very important, because the object is an asymmetrical object, first of all, so it belongs to the feeling that was an abstract feeling, a dynamic feeling, and also because the building push in your exploration, you want to explore it, and there are tricks to do that, and the tricks is basically tricks are exactly this, are these cuts over here. Because in some case, it turns, so you are pushed to do so. What does it say? That new typology, new type, new form, the new type does not go directly to a new form. This is very important to understand. Because we have central plans with Bernini and Borromini, the typology is basically the same. And we have two opposite ways to understand architecture, but completely opposite. So this is very important to understand, that you have to work with type. Type is one of the best things that you can have in architecture. When I heard that you were teaching characteristics, I was super happy, no? Because it's one of the most important weapons that an architect has. But you don't have to do the mistake to think that characteristics means form. If you do that mistake, you are trapped in a wrong thinking. And Terrain is exactly what shows you. He has that clearly as a kind of typological or distributional system, but it changed completely from one case to the other. So this is what happened here. In the Casa Rustici, again, a completely different world happened. Here, the problem is that he has two perpendicular buildings on the street, but he knows that in Italy, continuity or the urban scene is an important thing. You cannot really do as you want the city has its own presence, because it's not a presence of yesterday, it's a presence since the Roman time. So there is a presence of the city. And so he invents another way to use the frame, because this is always the frame. Clearly, I did not say, of course, in one of the major, one of the major systems to allow that is exactly the frame, no? Is the frame the key, most recurrent element, you know? And it's actually the frame that he was attacked with, that was similar. So anyway, instead here, again, use the frame. Sorry to go back, I know it's not very nice, but I really need it. In this particular case, he invents a huge frame. He invents a huge frame that unifies the two parts of the building. And this huge frame is so important because it's that one that unifies the building on the street. We saw the picture before, I don't want to go on. But in the masterpiece, which is the Asilio Sant'Elia, this formal thinking arrives to its apex, to either to the highest level. Why? Because it has to deal with children. In one case was the fascist regime, and the central space was the space to celebrate all that reunion of the people that belonging to that. In the other case was a way to celebrate the city, kind of the continuity of the city. But here, the central space becomes becomes a garden, is a garden. So it's the place where you celebrate the presence of the children and the relationship of the children with nature, etc. So it's a completely different value. And in order to do so, Terragni invents another way to use the frame, which is basically, okay, a sequence. He invents a sequence of spaces. Okay, let me see, where can I show you this? Okay, you see the central space. All the central space is a game with the idea of the frame. What it does? It is like the garden pushes, and not only pushes, but makes this movement. And all of these are in creating a dynamic, a very beautiful dynamic in the building. Because when it pushes, you arrive in the street exactly with this frame, that which is this one, that is like there is the presence of the garden that arrives on the street. It is pushed out. Then there is this wonderful atrium that is wonderful even from a light point of view. Then there is the garden itself. And in the garden itself, take a very important role this other movement. That is that the structure in one side goes inside and then the other side goes outside. Se mi dai il libro, Gigi, io faccio meglio, perché non so perché mi è saltato, non saltate le foto chiave. Le faccio vedere da qua. I'm finished, eh? I'm really finished, so I just wanted to show this effect. Okay, here we are. This is the frame that was pushed out. Okay, here, you see? This is a frame, and the frame is pushed out on the street. And the kind of is, here it is, is like a pressure of the inside. Here it is, this guy. The pressure of the garden has no functional reasoning whatsoever. It's not the entrance, You don't enter from there. Then there is this incredible sequence that is the sequence that goes from the garden inside to, okay, here it is. All right, okay. Okay, basically where the guy is, normally it is inhabited by the children. And if you notice both the different size of the facades, in one case the structure is pushed out, this one, and in the other case it's pushed in. Again, there is this kind of movement, and I'm not the first one that noticed that, it's Argan again. Here it is. So one side is moved like that. All that create, imagine to be in a kind of monumental space, imagine to be in a space that are subtle, dynamic things. And then there is the key, the secret of the project. The secret of the project is this one. Okay, here is the frame again. Now this is a very famous picture. And the secret is this one. You see the architect, and you see a little detail that if you don't know, it appears to be secondary, which is the tower. There is a mountain and the tower of Baradello. And you may think what's going on. Okay. You may think, we saw it in the plan of the city, this strange rotation of the building. Who else would have done that? And for whatever reason to do that? Yes, you take a little more advantage of sun, but let's be serious, it's minimum. To break the rules of the city, you must have a much better reason. And the reason is incredible. The reason is that tower is a very important tower for Como. It's the tower of Baradello. That is the tower from where the Comaschi were keeping their independence from the other people, particularly for people coming from Milano, because you know the whole history of Italy is history of communes that have their own system. So for a long time, the history of Italy is a history of communes, of different municipalities that were independent. So the independence of the municipality is a great value, and that it was kept from generation to generation. And so that tower is a symbol, so that Gerani did what not another architect would have done, that is the following. He did not put the tower in axis with the central courtyard, but he put in axis with the ramp that is over here, and then turned, and when you are here, you arrive with the final ramp in axis with the tower. And of course, this is not something that I knew because the nephew told me, because otherwise, of course, I will never talk. So anyway, there are lots of history around this. For me, in this occasion, was important to really underline this concept that Gerani, we may say, that invented new distribution scheme or new types, as a typical new types or a typical distribution scheme has nothing to share with the function, is over the function. In fact, it was used in very different buildings. And again, the distribution scheme has nothing to do with architectural form. Or, let's say better, there is some overlapping and some independence. Otherwise, you don't do architecture if you think that your distribution scheme will bring directly to architectural form.
Thank you. I want to invite the PhD candidates to have a brief comment. Just the conditional.
Yeah. You can come Tuesday. Se volete, state dentro il nuovo comune, vedete i modelli, vedete altre cose. Noi siamo alle 5 e mezza di martedì, dentro il nuovo comune, martedì.
And now I invite my colleagues for a free discussion about the lesson. Thank you very much.